How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me,
the genes of you and me,
we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA.
Hi, you're listening to DNA Today, a podcast and radio show where we discover new advances in the world of genetics. From genetic technology like CRISPR to rare diseases to new research, we have you covered. For a decade, DNA Today has brought you the voices of leaders in genetics. I'm Kira Dineen. I'm a certified genetic counselor and your host. Joining me now is Dr. Brian Schertz. He's an associate professor in the Department of Laboratory Medicine and Pathology at the University of Washington. He's a leader of UW's MyVariant team, which has created Connect MyVariant, which we're going to dive into today. Thank you so much, Dr. Schertz, for coming on the show. So before we explore Connect MyVariant, I wanted to provide a little bit of background information in terms of cancer genetics for those that may not be as familiar with it. What are the most common cancer genes that come up when people do testing and maybe they find out they have a mutation or pathogenic variant, as we call them?
Yeah, well, there's probably over 20 hereditary cancerous genes that we know about now. I'm not going to go over the list of all of them, but you know, BRCA1 and BRCA2 are probably the two that come up most. They are associated with hereditary ovarian and breast cancer, as well as several other cancers, including prostate cancer, which just has recently come to light how much increased prostate cancer is associated with those two genes, pancreatic cancer as well. Then PALB2 is another gene that can be grouped with those that's associated with the same cancer, or similar cancers and a slightly lower risk. Lynch syndrome is caused by pathogenic variants in MLH1, MSH2, MSH6, PMS2. APC is one that's associated with colon cancer, P10, and TP53. I mean, the list goes on, but those are some of the ones that are the most common ones that we see most often.
Yeah, those are definitely, when I was doing cancer rotations as a student, those are the ones that would come up the most often, and just what we hear about in terms of patient advocates that are talking about their experience and everything. One aspect that I get a question from a lot of patients is why it's important to know what specific variant someone has and not just what gene. You know, you mentioned a bunch of different genes, but why is it important for someone to know, okay, this is the actual change in the gene that's leading it not to work as well as in other people?
Yeah, thanks. That's really the key of what Connect MyVariant is about, or one of the keys. When we think about pathogenic variants in genes, we think about the cancer risk is the first thing we think about. And the first thing we want to do is help whoever has that diagnosis or who finds out about it prevent cancer for themselves. But the next thing we want to do is help them prevent cancer in their family members. You know, about 80% of the people that I see as a molecular pathologist who get a diagnosis of hereditary cancer risk already have cancer. And really, that's not why we're doing the testing. You know, when I got into this, I was like, this is great. I want to prevent cancer. I want to make sure that people don't get cancer, or they catch it early so they can get treated early. And what we see is that people get their cancer diagnosis and then find out that they have hereditary cancer risk. And that specific variant is, the gene is really what's important for defining the treatment and defining what the risk level is. But then those specific variants really help with family communication. If somebody knows what their specific variant is, they can give a letter to their relatives that has that annotated on it, or that they can give their genetic test reports to their relatives, and then the doctors who see that result can know exactly which mutation to test or exactly which variant to test. And that lowers the cost of testing and makes it easier and allows those relatives to know exactly what they're looking for and what their risk is. The other thing that we found, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, with that, it's helpful because, as you said, like you can just look at that one spot on the gene to see, okay, is that familial variant there or not, as opposed to sequencing the entire gene, reading through the whole one. So it definitely makes it easier. Sometimes it's not available, but when it is, I know whenever I have someone bring a genetic test report in from a family member or something, I'm like, this is gold. Like, this is fantastic to have this.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that we found that's, I think, even more exciting is that this started when I was doing some work with Heather Hample at Ohio State.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
And we were doing some research together where I was, they have this wonderful data set of individuals who they've done, who've enrolled in their research to do colon cancer risk testing. And they had found some of the people who had exactly the same variant were second cousins and third cousins with each other. And when they found out those people were second or third cousins, then they were able to find the other exactly which ancestor was connected with them. And we did some analysis of all of their data and found that we couldn't identify them, but the haplotype analysis, and the haplotype shows kind of what all of the other variants that are associated with, so which chromosome it's on. And we found the haplotype analysis showed that about 90% of the time, if two people have the same variant, then they probably have a common ancestor. And that should be too surprising. Like in BRCA1, there's about 4,000 different variants that have been identified. BRCA2, over 3,000 that have been identified. Multiple thousands of variants in most of the hereditary cancerous genes. So there's lots and lots and lots of variants out there. And not only that, but that many of the cancerous variants, the relatives, the common ancestors, could be in the last 200 to 300 years. And 200 years is genealogical time frame. That's when we have documents, we have records, we could potentially identify the records that connect those two people. And so that's one of the reasons why this project was born, is we are able to say, well, if two people have the same variant, let's get them talking to each other, and let's get them seeing how they're related.
Yeah, that's interesting. And for people that are familiar with the BRCA genes, there's three common variants that are usually more common in the Ashkenazi Jewish population. So that concept makes sense, that if you have a very specific variant, you probably related to that person. So I imagine if you can start doing what we call cascade testing of, okay, you're starting with the person that has the cancer, maybe, as you were talking about, and then branching out and saying, okay, who else should we test or invite to do testing? You can start saving lives in that instance that you were kind of preluding to before.
That's exactly right. And so we're interested in helping people do better cascade testing and talk to their family members more often. It's, you know, starting with their immediate relatives. But what connecting with other people who have the same variant allows you to do is what I call enhanced cascade testing or super cascade testing, when you can get out beyond your immediate first and second degree relatives to third, fourth, and fifth degree relatives. Mary Claire King showed me some of her data when she was, she's been collecting a lot of BRCA1 and BRCA2 families for years.
Yeah.
And she's also found a dozen different families where she's been able to connect second cousins. And a four or five families where she's been able to connect third cousins. And in those instances, I think the median was 12 individuals with hereditary cancer when she was able to connect second cousins, and 40 individuals when she was able to connect third cousins. So there's really a lot of potential for prevention that we can unlock when people with the same variant connect with each other.
Yeah, and for people that aren't familiar, Mary Claire King is really the front runner in discovering the BRCA genes, her and her team and everything. So yeah, you mentioned some pretty big people in cancer genetics and everything. What is the current process right now for family members to be informed if they are at risk, as we're saying, of, okay, someone in the family has a genetic mutation that's in one of these cancer genes, there's a pathogenic variant there. What happens at that point? Like, whose responsibility is it to reach out to these family members in order to say, hey, just so you know, you're at a chance of having this family mutation?
You know, that's a great question. It really depends on where you're at and who you're talking to. And so in different countries, they have different processes for doing that. Here in the United States, then it also kind of depends on who is, how you find out about it and what information you have. In most situations, a genetic counselor will talk to the patient and hopefully spend some time at the end of the genetic counseling session talking to them about how they can talk to their family member and how they can reach out to their family members. Many of the genetic counselors who I've talked to about this have indicated they would love to be able to talk to the family members directly and bring them in directly, but there's not a lot of time, and it's something that insurance doesn't pay for. And so there's not a lot of time and a lot of resource to do that. And so because of that, genetic counselors, with the time and the resources they have, are doing the best they can to help patients talk to their family members. Now, right now, that sometimes works really well and sometimes doesn't. I mean, it would be wonderful if genetic counselors could follow up with their patients if oncologists or primary care doctors end up ordering the testing, then sometimes that conversation about family communication really never happens, because the most primary care doctors and most oncologists haven't been trained to educate patients about cascade testing. Some have. I don't want to make broad generalizations. There are some extraordinary primary care providers and then oncologists. But usually, at least from what I've seen, that only happens if a genetic counselor is involved. Another reason why genetic counseling is so important. So usually it's the patients that's able to ask to do that, but there's not a lot of support for patients who are trying to reach out to their family members, and that's one thing that we're trying to provide. We have monthly newsletters, and we have a genetic counselor kind of on call that people can talk to. I guess during business hours, we don't have 24-hour service yet. But someone can call and send an email to and say, hey, I'm trying to reach out to family members. Can I have some help or can I have some assistance? And then we have scripts that we can provide. We hope that they have a family letter. If they don't have a family letter, their genetic counselor provided, we're able to help them with that. And then the other thing that actually has been really, really helpful, and this is the other reason why we like introducing people that have the same variant, is just hearing other people who are trying to do this is so incredibly helpful. And it's helpful to hear anybody who has a variant that causes any type of hereditary cancers talk about how they reach out with their family. But it seems to be even more meaningful when you find somebody who has your same variant that's trying to reach out to family members.
Yeah, it seems like that's even more of a connection that you might be related if you have the same variant as we've talked about. But also that just connection of when you do hear from another person that's going through a very similar experience, you're going to have some kind of relationship, some kind of bonding there. Even if it's like you're listening to a podcast, you see an interview, you're reading a blog post from someone that's gone through that experience, it can really be powerful just to feel like you're not alone in what you're going through. And also to ask them questions too of like, okay, well, how did you start talking to family members? Like, how did you start the conversation? Because I feel really awkward doing this. Or, having those types of conversations and advice, because these are difficult conversations to have. And Connect My Variant, you guys provide some of these resources so that people have some tools as they start these conversations.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the other thing we try to do is provide some follow-up as well, either through the newsletters and through these groups that we have with people with the same variant, so people can, it's a long process. That's something I didn't realize when I started getting into this. I didn't realize that it's not just a one-time conversation. Sometimes the process of reaching out to family members takes a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. That people are especially if they find some resistance, then people will reach back again in a few years, and somebody will be like, oh yeah, I wasn't interested then, and now I'm interested. And so you see these long trajectories of individuals helping their family members get tested and find out about their risk.
Yeah, and sometimes they'll reach out to, say, their aunt says, oh, I don't want to do testing, but then later they'll reach out to their cousin, so their aunt's, children, and like, oh, they're actually interested. And so, yeah, it definitely depends with family dynamics. And, as you said, if someone was not interested at one point and then, maybe talked with someone and was like, actually, maybe I should look at this, that, as genetics becomes more of a household topic that comes up, I think that's going to happen more and more. Did you know 90% of people carry at least one drug reactive gene variant? Yes, it's actually that common. That's why Picture Genetics PGX test is so helpful. The at-home test kit helps you personalize your medication planning based on your specific genetics. The test is powered by Fulgent Genetics, a clinical laboratory that uses pharmacogenetics to analyze your genes to help you identify what meds work best for you. No more blind guesses. PGX testing gives you genetic insight on your body's ability to process different drugs. Tests come with a clinical report and genetic counseling, so you're fully supported and educated about how the results could impact you. Use the power of genetics to find the right medications with Picture Genetics PGX test. Visit picturegenetics.com and use code DNA today for 25% off and free shipping. Again, that's picturegenetics.com with code DNA today for your Picture PGX test kit. Get actual genetic insights today to benefit your health of tomorrow. Oh, and check out Picture Genetics' interview about pharmacogenomics with their director of genetic counseling, Gregory Kellogg, on episode 174 of DNA Today. PerkinElmer Genomics is a global leader in genetic testing focusing on rare diseases, inherited disorders, newborn screening, and hereditary cancer. Testing services support the full continuum of care from preconception and prenatal to neonatal, pediatric, and adult. Testing options include sequencing for targeted genes, multiple genes, the whole exome or genome, and copy number variations. Using a simple saliva or blood sample, PerkinElmer Genomics answers complex genetic questions that can proactively inform patient care and end the diagnostic odyssey for families. Learn more at PerkinElmerGenomics.com. Part of what Connect My Variant does is obviously connecting people that have the same variant. How does this work? Take me through like people posting their variant online and what they should consider when starting to do this.
Yeah, so we do a few things. One of the things we try to do is to collaborate with as many different organizations as we can. And so we initially thought, so should we have a forum? Should we have a way for people to chat with each other? But then we found that you know, Facing Our Cancer Risk Empowered and the American Cancer Society both have fantastic forums. The FORCE Forum is actually, they have one specific sub board that says, message board that is the Share Your Mutation message board, which is my favorite message board. And so they have something designed exactly for this. And so instead of creating something new, we realized that we can just point people to those ones. And then there's half a dozen just wonderful Facebook groups if people want to get on Facebook and talk about their specific variant. There's a growing number of private Facebook groups that are talk about the specific variants. But if somebody signs up for Connect My Variant, then really they're signing up for something very specific, and we say we ask if they want to share their specific variant information and their contact information with other people who have their specific variant. And so the sharing that we do is if somebody signs up, they'll either get an email from us saying, we don't know anybody with your specific variant yet, hold on, post on the FORCE Share Your Mutation message board, look around on Facebook, talk to your family members, and do what you can. Just knowing that right now you're the only one that we know about. You're probably not the only one out there, but you're the only one that we know about. Or they'll get a message saying, we know of other people that have your specific variant. And here is the first name, and usually it's the email of somebody who has your specific variant. And then we'll send those people that person's. And then really we let people connect on their own terms. We don't want to dictate how people should connect. We provide suggestions of the types of things people can talk about and things they can say, but we want people to connect on their own terms and the ways they're comfortable with. And we actually have three different, ask people three different contact information and ask them which they prefer. If they want a phone, if they'd rather do a phone, we can provide a phone number rather than email. And if they want some other form of connection, we can do that. So some people have posted their Facebook page and they say they'd rather people connect through Facebook, or they've said, just send someone to my FORCE Share Your Mutation message board and they can connect to that. Most people want emails as the way to connect with other people. If there's big groups of people who have the same variant, then what we'll do is we'll ask the group if any of them want to volunteer to be what we call a variant champion. And so then that person will help facilitate the connections between people. So we're not sending out huge long lists of email addresses from people. We want to help people maintain their privacy, at the same time connecting with the people who they want to connect to. So in terms of facilitating those connections, then we really try to keep the minimal amount of information we can, and so that we can facilitate those connections without risking people's privacy.
Yeah, so it's interesting. You're serving sort of as a matchmaker between people to figure out, like, they're submitting, okay, I'd like to be connected with other people, and you're waiting. You're like, oh, one came up, so now I'm going to introduce people to others in their very micro community. So you did mention one thing of people posting their information online. Obviously, genetic privacy is, I think, an issue that's been more relevant the past couple years than it was before. Certainly once GINA was introduced 2008, I think that became something to talk about. But even more since then, I've seen a lot more people concerned about this, especially with direct consumer companies and like, where is that data going? Who are they selling that to? Is there anything that people should be aware of in terms of if they're posting publicly their variant online, of what they might be exposed to, if anything?
Yeah, I think that because of GINA and because of greater awareness, and so there's less social stigma, I think that there's less concerns than there were 10 years ago. And so you don't have to worry about healthcare discrimination, or having to worry about employment discrimination. I know Gina doesn't cover long-term care and other insurance, but those also, if somebody knows about their risk, I'm not aware of life insurance companies actually discriminating against people based on this type of genetic information, because if someone knows about it, they're going to reduce their risk, and they're going to have a lower risk than the general population. So the things I think people should be aware about is who they want to share that information with. And we created this so that people can share their information just with people who have their same variant, and not with the world. Although we love it when people want to share it with the world, because that lets other people find out about it. You know, Angelina Jolie is a hero. Matthew Knowles is a hero. You know, these very public figures who are open about sharing their status. And sharing your specific variant isn't, I don't think, causes any additional risk beyond saying, you know, I'm BRCA1 positive. You know, saying I'm BRCA1 C.181 TDG positive doesn't say anything else about your cancer risk. And it does say I'm in this group that has ancestors potentially coming from, you know, the part of the world where this variant came from. But I don't think it increases, you know, there's really no actionable things besides finding out that you have the same ancestors. And people post about genealogy all the time and about who their ancestors are in genealogy all the time. That's something out there. I do think that you do need to be aware of, you know, who's collecting information on you. Some people are totally happy and fine with Facebook and posting information on Facebook. I know that the Force Share Your Mutation message board are one of their reasons why they created them, how they were, is because they wanted to have a place where people could share their variant information with in this place where it wasn't run by a company that's kind of potentially scraping information to target advertisements. And so I think you just need to be aware of which organization you're there. I don't think it's going to subject people to discrimination right now. At least I haven't seen any examples of that. It hypothetically could, and I've heard all sorts of hypotheticals. I haven't ever actually seen it happen.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I know, you know, when talking with patients, it's like saying, okay, Gina protects you from a lot of healthcare discrimination, but not long-term care. But we've never actually seen that being used. So it's like, yes, you're open to that possibly being a problem, but we've never seen that in action. And Gina's been around for you know, over a decade now. And just to say that we're both US-based, so, you know, hard to speak to, you know, the globe. So that's just Gina's the US, but...
I've personally seen a lot more positive, concrete positive effects of people sharing their information about their, first of all, their hereditary cancer risk in general, and also about their specific variant, than I have seen negative effects.
Yeah, definitely. I think just, you know, communication and connecting with people is just so powerful. And I'm very grateful of Gina so that we can have those protections. Otherwise, I can't imagine what social media would look like in terms of patient advocates and having this type of conversation, because, you know, I think people would be much more hesitant to share that information publicly.
Did you know PerkinElmer Genomics was one of the first laboratories to offer whole genome sequencing on a clinical basis? Whole genome sequencing can maximize clinical diagnostic yield for patients. With a turnaround time of 6 weeks, PerkinElmer's whole genome sequencing test is designed to provide access to additional valuable information compared to an exome. PerkinElmer Genomics provides one of the world's most comprehensive programs for detecting clinically significant genomic changes. PerkinElmer Genomics delivers knowledge that can empower health. PerkinElmer is a global leader committed to innovating for a healthier world. Join their mission at PerkinElmerGenomics.com. And also, stay tuned for our interview with PerkinElmer, where we're going to be exploring the power of whole genome sequencing. I'll also tease that my guest for this episode is a world-renowned geneticist, so you are not going to want to miss this one. But while you wait for the episode, head over to PerkinElmerGenomics.com to start discovering all PerkinElmer has to offer. Curious to take a peek inside your body's drug response? Then you should check out Picture Genetics' PGX test. Powered by clinical laboratory Fulgent Genetics, Picture's PGX test is easy to order and understand with hassle-free clinician involvement and good-looking reports. Plus, you're fully supported through live chats, emails, and genetic counseling. To order your Picture PGX test kit, use code DNATODAY for 25% off and free shipping. Get actionable genetic insights today to benefit your health of tomorrow.
Today, I want to recommend a podcast to you called Our Opinions Are Correct, hosted by Charlie Jane Anders and Annalie Newitz. Every other week, Our Opinions Are Correct dissects a different topic related to science fiction, science, and everything in between. They've talked about everything from how to write a good fight scene to the death of the universe. Charlie Jane Anders is an award-winning author of several science fiction novels, including the recently released Victories Greater Than Death. Annalie Newitz is an award-winning science journalist who writes for the New York Times and The Atlantic. Together, they will be friend cosmic monsters. Subscribe to Our Opinions Are Correct on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Any other advice? I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but any other advice for how people can start these conversations with family members? Any tips? Because I know you guys provide some of that on the website. Just starting these conversations, and other than giving your results with your variant, other information that maybe they should be passing on to family members.
Yeah, well, Kira, you hit on the key things already, and we talked about that before. So I think that if somebody wants to start reaching out to their family members, you know, start with the people you know first. It's really cool if someone can find a distant relative. I mean, that's what kind of what we're looking for. But really, you want to start with your kids. And actually, from the surveys we've done, most people are totally fine talking with their kids. But you want to talk to your siblings. No matter how close you are with them, you want to talk to your siblings. They have a 50% chance of having it. You want to talk to your parents if they're still alive. Even though they may be out of the risk range, you still want to talk to your parents, or the early cancer risk range. They might think, I'm old enough, I don't need to be tested. It's still really useful for them to be tested. Partly to know who else benefits from cascade testing. You want to talk to your aunts and uncles and cousins if you can. And ideally, you have some idea of which side of the family the variant came from. Because that lowers the number of people. And so if you, once you've talked to your immediate family members, then see if you can figure out what side of the family your variant came from. And that could be because of a strong family history on one side of the family or the other. Ideally, it's because you can get one of your parents tested or one of your grandparents to do testing. And then if you can't get one of your parents or grandparents to do testing, you start talking to your cousins. Every single one of somebody's cousins is going to have high enough risk that it would justify genetic testing. If you can find the side of the family it's on and, you know, eliminate half your cousins from that risk, that's even better. And then after that, kind of the next steps, I'm going from small to big. The next steps is you know, you can sign up for Connect My Variant, whatever, but then kind of we really have these unique tools. I don't know if anyone else is providing these to be able to help people go big and to be able to connect with other people who have the same variant. The other thing I would say is that get on some of these message boards and some of these Facebook groups to see what other people say about it. Facing Our Cancer Risk Empowered Force has some great resources. American Cancer Society has some great resources. There's other resources from lots of different groups out there that I think you had the Black Cancer Genes people on here a few months ago.
They were great.
Lots and lots of good resources and more and more good resources out there as well. So, find other people who have the same risk, talk to them about what they did, to talk to their family members. And then the last thing I would say is that if you've talked to your family members, or if you're scared of talking to your family members, just do it, because you never know how it's going to go. And if it goes bad, then that's totally fine. You know, wait for another year or two and try again. Like I said, it's oftentimes a long arc. That when we talk about cascade testing for cancer prevention, then it really is a kind of 2 to 5 year plan.
Yeah, I think that's very well said, and just good advice and so many good resources. We're going to link to all of these in the show notes. That's all available at dnapodcast.com. But yeah, I think there's just a lot of resources out there. But Connect My Variant, you guys are very specific, and I haven't seen any resources online, and I've been looking for years of just, okay, where can I point people to? They say, oh yeah, I have you know, a variant in one of the cancer genes. And like, I, you know, how do I even go about getting family members tested, or like, what should they know? Like, you know, I'm so grateful that now I know this resource to be able to point people to, and that now other genetic counselors and healthcare providers, you know, maybe other healthcare providers that aren't as familiar with all the next steps and all of that, can just say, oh, go to this website, and then they'll kind of direct you from there. So I think that's just such a fantastic aspect. And I'm just curious, as we close out the show here, you know, at first when I saw this, I was like, oh, is this for the rare disease community? But then I was like, okay, cancer makes sense. But I see this as being powerful in so many areas of genetics. Is this something that you think would expand to other things? I mean, maybe in the future, but is that a possibility that you see for Connect My Variant?
Yeah, that's something that we initially thought of. You know, familial hypercholesterolemia is kind of one of the areas where cascade testing really makes a lot of sense. Right now, we're focused on cancer because it makes sense, and because there's a large community that's already talking about hereditary cancer. But I see that sometime in the future we could do that. There for extremely rare diseases, there's already a lot of good resources, and when we were looking into that, we saw that there were good resources for like individual societies where people can get can join, and then for. There's also kind of other matchmaker groups. And when we looked at those to see if we wanted to do something different and used to do something new, we looked at those and saw that they were mostly focused on rare diseases, and also they're mostly focused on researcher-based connections. And so people don't get connected directly with each other, they get connected with researchers, and those researchers do things. So I don't think that's an area we want to expand. We're not thinking about doing research, we're not thinking about doing we like to do research, but we're not. That's not our main goal. Is not to do research. Our main goal is a public health goal.
Yeah, definitely connecting people, and there are so many resources. I think for rare diseases, like NORD is such a big one, National Organization for Rare Disorders, and that's kind of a hub where a lot of those different you know, organizations are under that or listed there. So I think there are a lot more in the rare disease space, and that a lot of people, if they do have a rare disease or a child with a rare disease, connect with each other just through other conferences and different things there. But yeah, this is kind of, you know, a great way for people in the cancer community. And maybe, as you said, like FH would be an interesting one too in the future of, you know, being very good to diagnose early and everything.
Anyone can sign up now. You know, we don't turn away people who list their variants on Connect My Variant. We just tell them, you know, you might have to wait. And so if somebody signed up with a familial hypercholesterolemia variant, we'd most likely say, we don't know anybody else with your variant. Sit tight. And because we're not really advertising that area, it might take a little bit longer. But, you know, when we find someone who has the same variant, we'll give them the same resources and the same, you know, help them connect up with other people in the same way we do for cancer right now.
Definitely. Well, people can head over to connectmyvariant.org to learn more, get all of these awesome resources. And again, all of the links that we mentioned from FORCE, Black Cancer Genes, American Cancer Society, maybe that paper from Heather Hample. We'll kind of include all of that in the show notes so that you guys can all find it there. But thank you so much, Dr. Schertz, for coming on the show and just exploring all of this. I think it's really helpful for people to understand just not only the resource, but the why behind it, of just how important it is for people to share these results with family members and say, okay, this is my variant, you know, you should consider getting testing. So I think that's just so important. And I hope that as a healthcare system, we're really being able to highlight that more and have more follow through with it. And hopefully Connect My Variant is, you know, one of the tools and the driving forces behind that.
Yeah. Thank you, Kira. It's been a pleasure. And I agree. Hopefully, this is why we do hereditary cancer risk testing, is to prevent cancer. And hopefully we can do it better.
Exactly. Thanks.
For more information about today's episode, visit dnapodcast.com, where you can also stream all episodes of the show. We encourage your questions, comments, guest pitches, and ideas. Send them all into info@dnapodcast.com. Search DNA Today on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, so you can connect with us there. And a favor, please rate and review the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. This truly helps us climb the charts and allow more genetic nerds like yourself to find the show. DNA Today is hosted and produced by myself, Kira Dineen. Our social media lead is Corinne Merlino. Our video lead is Amanda Andrioli. Thanks for listening, and join us next time to discover new advances in the world of genetics.
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me. You're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA.